When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Mike Riley with the Axley Law Firm in Madison. Mike, what's your phone number?
257-5661.
All right. Yes, you can still take on the big guys if you've been injured. Mike will help you out, and he does a great job. I refer him to people all the time. So, Mike, big day. The last 2 days have been monumental decisions, a bit schizophrenic, but you can tell us what you think.
Boy, it is interesting. It's schizophrenic's perfect word. You see the best and the worst of the court. You know, the best is the Defense of Marriage Act. They struck it down. You know, we had talked about it some time ago, Sly, and predicted they would do that. The Defense of Marriage Act basically says that even when you're legally married in a state, you know, they're not going to allow you to be treated as if you were married for federal benefits. And the court, you know, with Justice Kennedy, the swing vote as usual, when you get a decision like this, said you can't do that. You're basically saying that marriage isn't the same, that you've got two sets of married couples, one of them gay, one of them not. State law recognizes both of them as legitimately married, but the federal government is going to somehow override that. And the court said that's a legitimate exercise of the state power. If the state wants to allow people to be married, it has a right to, and the federal government can't discriminate between married couples. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't discriminate against gay couples if they're not married, unfortunately, but it's a big step forward. So in the 12 states or so where couples can be legally married, they now can no longer be discriminated against.
Including Iowa, which is, we've got a little bit of that in our listening ship. So, yeah, that was... not probably a big surprise. I think the one that maybe there was a little bit more of a surprise was the decision to basically say in the California case, the people that brought the case to them didn't have legal standing.
And again, I think when you and I talked about that, we both thought that it was fairly likely the court would do that, that they'd just elect to punt. You know, it's kind of a hot button issue, Sly. And the big thing there is that you're really seeing attitudes in the public change. They've gone from 30% favoring gay marriage to 41% to 53%. It's still not a large majority, but it's a majority. When you look at that, it's 23 points in a relatively small period of time. That's a big, big shift. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, they made a big point of that when they struck down the Voting Rights Act for Section 4 of it. You know, they said, well, you know, times have changed, Robert said. Well, you know what? Times have changed in terms of gay marriage, too. They've changed dramatically in terms of the attitudes of the American people. And I think the court, the decision on Defense of Marriage Act recognizes that. And I think the decision not to decide and to let the California, effectively to let the California law be struck down as it was so that you can't bar gay marriage, I think that makes sense.
Well,
in
you
terms
know,
of what
so,
the
some conservatives were very confused by this because they said you were pro states' rights in one case and not in the other. But the truth is that California case reached them because the California state Supreme Court said that the referendum there violated the California Constitution. So I don't see a conflict there.
No, I think you're right, Sly. I don't think there is a conflict. And I also think it's one of those, you know, cases where sometimes the court acts wisely in deciding not to decide. And they did that here. They also did that in terms of the affirmative action program in Texas. And that decision, they effectively ducked that. And I think probably are going to wait for a little better case in their view before they take it on.
You know they want to strike that down, though. You can just tell.
Well, you know, they do, and I think, well, the question is, some of them do, and you know, the question is, what will Kennedy do with that? You and I have talked about that. I have some real problems with some of those programs. I don't have a
problem
with the program.
I do, too. That's the one that I have the toughest time with. I understand the goal of a university to have not a homogenous population of students. It is important for students to interact with others. On the other hand, those things don't always cut along racial lines as far as being disadvantaged.
Oh, and I think you hit it right in the head, Sly, and that's the problem. There are states where they've focused more on class, you know, socioeconomic group, but it's, you know, the places that have been pointed out, and it's happened. You know, if your mom's a lawyer and your dad's a doctor, but you happen to be black, you should get preferential treatment for admission to med school, law school, undergrad school. I mean, that makes no sense at all. And you should get it over the son of, you know, people who are disadvantaged, who's grown up in a tough situation, maybe in a bad neighborhood, and to somehow overcome all that, and you should still get preferential treatment. I mean, that just is, that defies logic to me.
Mike Riley with the Axley Law Firm with us as we talk about all these momentous decisions. One of the things that I thought, while we stay on the gay rights thing, I want to make sure I hit the right clip here. Here is a man who's practiced before the Supreme Court in the past and lost. This time he won.
This is a great day for America. 10 years ago today, the United States Supreme Court in Lawrence against Texas took the first important step to guaranteeing that all Americans, regardless of sexual orientation, were equal citizens under the law. Today, the United States Supreme Court, in two important decisions, brings us that much closer to true equality. In the decision striking as unconstitutional the so-called DOMA, or defensive marriage, case, the United States Supreme Court held that there was no purpose for depriving gay and lesbian couples of the right to marry the person they loved. There was no legitimate justification for that. As Justice Scalia noted, that holding, that principle, guarantees the right of every individual in every state to marriage equality.
Now, that's David Boyce. He was the liberal arguing in these cases, and Ted Olson, who's the former Solicitor General, very conservative. They worked together on this case.
Right, they did. And as I remember, weren't they opposites in Bush v. Gore?
Right. Right.
Talk about strange bedfellows.
Well, you know, he was playing a little game there about Scalia, and Scalia's infuriated by all this. And Scalia had, you know, had warned years ago in that Texas sodomy case that this was going to lead to someday gay marriage being legalized. You know, Scalia in some Fourth Amendment cases is terrific, but he was awful in that case. Do you think there's going to be a day when the United States Supreme Court strikes down state laws on gay marriage?
You know, it's possible, Sly. I suspect not in the near-term future, because I think in this case, as opposed to some others, notably Roe v. Wade, they've decided that this is a state's issue and they're going to let the states deal with it. And in this case, the states do seem to be dealing with it. I mean, there certainly has been advances. Now, at some point, if you've got 30 states or 35 states or something who permit gay marriage and you've got a handful that don't, at that point I think the court may step in, and they may step in earlier, but with their present composition, my guess is they're going to let the states tackle this state by state.
Isn't this going to become more complicated, though, as more people are married and more of the states that pass this law and one spouse moves, and you're going to have some states, you know, in custody cases, yeah. And this is going to get a little messy, isn't it?
Oh, I agree with you. I think it's a major problem. You know, we've talked about this before, too. One of the huge problems with this, you know, the case that was brought, it was interesting, because what happened in the case that was brought is a couple that had been together for 40 years. One of the couple, you know, one member of the couple dies, and the other member gets hit with this $400,000 estate tax that wouldn't have been due at all, you know, had they been recognized as married, which certainly they were.
Which explains why Ted Olson got involved with the case. Anytime somebody has to pay that kind of taxes, you know, the Republicans going to get it.
Yeah, and I would have thought that, you know, that would have struck a responsive chord with some of the conservatives on the court, but obviously it didn't. But, you know, we've talked about the same situation in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we have a wrongful death act. So if you're spouse is killed, you're entitled to maintain an action and be compensated for the loss of your spouse. But if you can have lived together for 30 years and certainly be a couple in every sense of the word, and yet you have no legal rights at all in our state if that happens, that's wrong. Nobody, no fair-minded person can think that that's fair or just.
Stand by. Mike Riley with the Axley Law Firm. We'll talk about the other big case that was decided yesterday on the Big FM 93.7. DiMaggio Service Center, 901 West Broadway. If you need a good mechanic, somebody you can trust, whether you live in Madison or Monona, or even if you live outside the area and you drive to work to Madison, DiMaggio's great mechanics, really easy to get to, right at the intersection of Broadway and Bridge Road. You can just look for the blue Goodyear sign. These are mechanics, you know, Tom that owns the place, Tom Sauter, who owns the place, he is just the best at finding great mechanics that are trustworthy. They won't run up the bill. He'll give you the fair, honest assessment of what's wrong with your car, fix it, and then turn it around and get it back to you. No messing around. Get your oil changed. Take care of that air conditioning before you go on your summer trip. You will like these guys. They're the home of the repeat customer. 221-8777. DiMaggio's, 901 West Broadway in Madison.
Miss an interview or segment on Sly's show? Go to slysoffice.com for podcasts exclusively on the Big FM, 93.7.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.
You're listening to Sly.
Impressive.
On 93.7, The Big FM.
Color Radar weather brought to you by Monroe Manor Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. They're Medicaid and Medicare approved and certified and offer customized plans for care for each individual that include post-operative respite care, stroke recovery, and more. And now there's wound care, certified RN on staff at Monroe Manor, just two blocks from the Monroe Clinic Hospital. All right, cloudy tonight, low of 69, humid tomorrow, variable cloudiness, high of 87, maybe some storms, and Friday, partly sunny, 81, a chance of an isolated storm. And anyway, back to Mike Riley from the Axley Law Firm. They are on the square in Madison. If you've been injured, they can help. Are you guys licensed in Illinois as well? I always forget to ask you that.
Yeah, we have lawyers in the firm. I'm not personally, but we have lawyers in the firm. And the other thing is, like, I've got good friends down there. We occasionally, you know, if we somebody needs help, we can get them a really fine lawyer in the northern part of Illinois or the Chicago area, too.
All right. So the Voter Rights Act, this is a little more complicated, but the totality of the situation leads me to believe when you see Texas and South Carolina immediately going back and pushing through voter ID laws that had been deemed unacceptable before the decision, that's not good.
It's not, and that's what I think the real concern is. You know, the specific provision is the provision that says that these 11 states and some other isolated counties in other states have such a pattern of discrimination in voting that, you know, they need to get prior approval before they change their voting laws to restrict voting access. And, you know, as far as that goes, the court said, well, you know, we're back with Selma, Alabama, that we're not back in that day now. This is a different age. Well, it is to some extent, except right now we're in an age where there is a concerted effort to deny voting rights to people of color, to people who are pretend to be poor, let's face it, to anyone who might tend to vote Democrat. And the Republican majorities in a bunch of states where they control the assembly, the legislature, have pushed this stuff and pushed it hard. And to encourage them, which is exactly what this does, to me is disgraceful. I mean, this is a country that needs more people voting, not less. Our voting pattern is an absolute disgrace. And to make it more difficult for people to vote when there is not an iota of evidence that there is any sort of significant voter fraud problem, I think is really distressing. And for this court to do it is inexcusable.
Yes. And so for John Roberts to say that, you know, that was 40 years ago, that was 50 years ago, it's my understanding that in his tenure working in the Reagan administration in the early 80s, this was his issue. He was pushing away on this thing 30 years ago.
Yeah, and you think maybe he should have recused himself given that fact. You know, Kate has recused herself in cases that she worked on, you know, and it's an issue she was concerned, and maybe he should have. I wasn't aware of that, but that's really interesting because clearly, you know, when you look at what's going on right now, I mean, they're not blind, they're not deaf. They know what's going on in this country. They know there's this concerted effort afoot to limit people's access to the polls, and to encourage that with this kind of decision, I think is honestly despicable. Well, it's the worst this court can do.
This is George Bush when he reauthorized it and signed what Congress had passed in 2006.
The Voting Rights Act that broke the segregationist lock on the ballot box rose from the courage shown on a Selma bridge one Sunday afternoon in March of 1965. On that day, African Americans, including a member of the United States Congress, John Lewis, marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in a protest intended to highlight the unfair practices that kept him off the voter rolls. Today, we renew a bill that helped bring a community on the margins into the life of American democracy. My administration will vigorously enforce the provisions of this law, and we will defend it in court. I am proud to sign the Voting Rights Act Reauthorization and Amendments Act of 2006.
Kind of hard to believe that wasn't very long ago.
It wasn't very long ago. I think 2 points. One, I'm proud of George Bush. You know, George Bush has taken a lot of flack for things. Some of it certainly justified. But you know what? That was the best of George Bush. The man, I always felt he was not Nixon. He was a decent human being at heart. I didn't agree with him on a lot of things. And that showed him at his best, I think. This decision shows the court at its worst. You know, Sly, your point's really critical. The big thing John Roberts is saying, this supposedly brilliant man that we've made our Chief Justice, says, well, this is 50 years ago. Is it not 7 years ago either? Things changed that much since our Congress, you know, voted overwhelmingly to reauthorize this just 7 years ago? I mean, what is the court doing stepping in and saying, oh, no, that wasn't proper? You know, what if you're not activist, what you do is you say, you know, guys, we think that you really should take another look at this. Why don't you look at it and see if some changes are required? You don't overturn a law that was just reaffirmed by an almost unanimous Congress just 7 years ago. That is judicial activism.
Well, the Senate, the vote was 98 to nothing. Now, mind you, that was before Ron Johnson appeared in the Senate. But, the truth is, the Supreme Court had said they wanted some fixes on this. They threatened this case before. The last time this came to them, they sort of punted, but said they wanted some fixes. But they know who controls the House of Representatives, and they know Congress isn't going to fix it. Now, Jim Sensenbrenner in the past has stood up for this law, and he better fight to reinstate it, obviously, with some changes. I guess my question for you is, if they ever reauthorize this law, shouldn't Wisconsin be included in states to watch?
Well, I think any state that's passed one of these, you know, voter ID laws, which are nothing but a thinly veiled attempt to keep people from voting, ought to be watched carefully. And that's the thing, Sly. I mean, I think that the need for a law like this is even greater. Now, you can argue and argue strongly that, you know, it ought to be much broader than those 11 states and a few counties. And I mean, if the court really wanted to do something, what the court should have done was to say, okay, we're not going to let these people be singled out. We're going to say that in this country as a whole, we're going to view with great suspicion any sort of law that appears designed to limit access, and especially limit access for groups of people who are disadvantaged.
Let me ask you real quickly, Mike, before you go, the case in Sheboygan with the two very young teenagers, 13 and 14, that killed the grandmother, great-grandmother.
Oh, God. Yeah, what a horrible
thing. Judge
is going
to have to make a decision on the accomplice. He was convicted. The main perpetrator was given 35 years. Do you think minors should do that long a period of time?
It's a tough issue, but I guess the simple answer is, in a case like that, yes. I think somebody who's capable of that, honestly, should never be on the streets again. I mean, somebody who's capable of that kind of conduct is so warped and so sick that I simply don't believe they are ever going to be fit to be in society.
The Supreme Court ruled, of course, that minors can't be, they have to be given a chance of parole, correct?
Right, exactly.
But you disagreed with that decision?
No, I don't disagree. I think they have to be given a chance. I mean, I think, look, everybody's different. I mean, I don't know as much as the folks who've had the case, heard the case, the social workers, whatever. I just, that kind of conduct is so depraved that I have real difficulty believing that person is going to change enough to ever be safe for society. Now, you know, there's this whole, it's not just a theory. It's clear the juvenile brain is different than the adult brain. It's clear that kids, I mean, if we think back in our own history, certainly mine included, you know, my decision making for a kid who was a pretty good kid was occasionally severely impaired. But certainly not to that extent. And, you know, is there a possibility this person will change in the next 10, 20 years? Sure there is. And I think you have to at least have the opportunity to say, this is a completely different person now, and to keep them in prison forever is not right. I don't disagree with that. But I think, like anyone else, I look at that conduct and I am just so appalled that anyone could engage in that kind of conduct. It is difficult to have sympathy for these kids in any way.
Mike Riley from the Axley Law Firm. Phone number one more time.
257-5661.
All right. You have a great day. We won't be on next week because of 4th of July, but we'll talk to you in another week after that.
Oh, my birthday is the 3rd. You know, they always miss the celebration by one day.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Sly. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.